Welcome back to the Neuroscience Meets SEL podcast. This is Andrea Samadi. As usual, this interview will be broadcast on YouTube as well as the regular podcast channel. So be sure to look for the YouTube link in the show notes if you'd like to see the video. Today, we have a very special guest. She's someone who's helped us at Achieva 360 with ideas, video editing, student voice, customized artwork since 2015. If you have a copy of the Level Up book, she's the teen artist on the back cover. And she also helped design the original cover for a school administrator who requested a customized version of the book for his school. She was involved in creating the name of the book, Level Up, as well as the videos in the program, all with the teen in mind. She learned how to take action on her ideas at a very early age without any limits in her mind. And we're so excited to share her most recent news. She just accepted a 4-year, all-paid, prestigious leadership award at the University of Arkansas Fort Smith and begins this adventure this week. Welcome, Sam.
Hi.
Hi, welcome. Thanks so much for coming and talking to us about your scholarship and your pathway that got you there. I'd love to ask you some questions so that people watching can figure out perhaps how to replicate what you've done, because you've done some incredible work.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, of course. Ask away.
Wonderful. Well, can you first start out with giving us an example of when you first started to use your voice as a young teen and the results you created by staying true to yourself and developing your strengths and passions?
I've been posting my art online since I was like 13, 14 years old, and growing an audience that way, it really helped to spread messages of just like genuine kindness and acceptance and love that continues to perpetuate into what I do today. Nothing was quite as solid as a first moment as working on the book with you. That was a big first step. And ever since then, it's only gotten more and more and more. Those were kind of the first solid starting points.
I didn't know that, because yeah. When I saw you, I saw you as established. I thought, I've got to get her because she knows what I need. And I needed really customized images. And so that's wonderful. Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
No problem. Well, looking back now, what skills do you think you learned from the fact that I had you customizing all these images with the brain in mind and growth mindset? Did any of that transfer into what you're doing now?
There's definitely a level of confidence and professionalism and a more confident side of myself that I haven't seen before. I didn't know that I could do work like that and be so proud of it and continue to pursue that line of work in freelancing illustration. And a lot of the just believing in yourself and being proud of yourself and knowing that no matter how, like, what you do, it's going to be okay. That hope is definitely something I've carried through with me since working on it.
That's wonderful. Can you give a little bit, without telling, you don't have to tell the whole story, but where you might have had someone that didn't like your artwork, perhaps, before me?
Oh, boy. I used to do $5 commissions on Fiverr. And there was one person who, and they didn't really communicate clearly what it is that they wanted. So, and I think I was 15 at the time. I really struggled with it. And I tried to provide them with, you know, an illustration, something that they could use. But I guess I must have misunderstood it somehow. I got called unprofessional and that my art was, you know, amateurish. And I was like, well, I'm a child, so to a level, yes, but also that experience taught me that not everyone's going to like what you do, as long as you have consideration for what happened and know where it could have been your wrongdoing and do better in the future. Those interactions you have don't really matter. It's you can't let the negativity get to you unless it's a genuine criticism.
Yep, and taking that feedback and perhaps using it to maybe improve or do something different, because I had that exact same criticism. Not everyone liked the cover of the book, which is why we had this version. And if I had, you know, got all upset and been out of shape about the fact that somebody didn't like it, you know, I would have quit. But so that's a big lesson to learn how to take criticism, to learn and do something different. For sure.
And learn the difference between just negative feedback and constructive criticism, because there is a difference, and distinguishing the two at first can be kind of difficult and a little heartbreaking. Yeah. But the people who criticize you and critique you genuinely aren't people that are hating on you. They are people who want to see you do better because they're rooting for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you build up a little bit of a thick skin in this whole process, yeah, putting ourselves out there. So good for you, mm-hmm, to learn that young, because that's always going to be a lesson moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with this in mind, what advice do you have for other students as they're navigating through high school? And I'm thinking on how to stay focused on the end result and avoid the drama that happens in high school. What advice do you have?
Oh, I was actually talking with my cousin about this not too long ago, because she's going to a different school here pretty soon, moving into junior high. And I said, all of the drama and the difficulties outside of grades and behavior they don't mean anything once you leave high school. None of that stuff, the drama, the cliques, they don't have a meaning once you enter college and go into the real world. So my biggest piece of advice is, you know, keep your head held high, study, keep your grades up. And if you're surrounded by people, and this is going to sound harsh, if you're surrounded by people that bring nothing but drama to the table, those aren't the kind of people you need to be hanging out with.
You have to put
your well-being and your studies ahead of all this, what you would see on like television with all of these kids getting into romance, like romantic triangles and drama over bullying. It's the real world is a little more different. It's a lot more different than that. It's less dramatized. So.
Right. So stay away from the drama, focus on studies. That's good advice.
And you'll find friends in high school that will be genuine to you. And those are the people you want to stick close to, not the ones that will ultimately bring harm to you.
That's a good.
And that can be hard. Sometimes those people are close to you, mm-hmm, and you want to stay friends with them, but you have to take care of yourself during such an already unstable time in your life.
Very true. Very true. Well, thinking about how you transitioned from high school and then focused on the scholarship, you must have been doing things along the way, because I know you don't just apply suddenly for a leadership scholarship and win it. So yeah, what tips for anyone like a teacher or a parent or a high school student listening to this, what things did you do along the way to prepare yourself to win this wonderful award?
Get involved with your community, whatever that community may be. If you're like me and you're into pop culture, then attend your local conventions and be active, make friends, stay social. If it's at school, there is always like young business leader organizations, student council, even just volunteer work. Take the time out of your schedule, even if it's not a lot, to dedicate yourself to bettering the people around you, and as such, yourself. It all comes back around. I think also the biggest challenge people have with applying for such prestigious scholarships is they think they're not qualified. But the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're if you think you're qualified, apply anyway. Just go for it, because you fail 100% of the shots you don't take. So if you don't try, you don't know if you'll get it or not. Like, just, and this was something that he'd even told us recently during the retreat for the CLC group this year. And that was, a lot of the people who don't think they're qualified but apply anyway prove to be more qualified than those who don't ever bother. because they're looking for those who want to improve and have the guts to say, even if I don't quite meet those standards for application, I have credibility. I want to give it a shot regardless. That says a lot about you. So be active in your community and have faith in yourself. Just do it.
That's great. I'm glad you did it. But how did you even find out about this award? How did you know it was there?
I found out about it through fellow students. Like when we were taking a tour of the UA Fort Smith campus, my tour guide was actually a member of the CLC. And she talked about the scholarship, and my mom and I were like, huh, that sounds right up my alley. So ask your schools. The financial aid offices at your schools that you're interested in attending will have a lot of information for you about scholarships, prestigious or not. And also looking online at scholarships, whether they be independent or related to the school you wish to attend to, you can find a lot of information just by Googling scholarships and asking around, or even if you know teachers at your high school that you attend, ask them, do you know, is there any scholarships at the colleges that you attended? Whether, you know, did you attend the local one? If so, how did that work out for you? Did you attend one in another state? So forth and so on. Use the connections that you have, whether they be people or the internet, to gain as much information about them as you can.
That's really good advice. And then what about parents of teens? Is there things that we should be thinking about as my kids are growing up? Are there things I could be doing as a mom to prepare my young kids for this path?
Teenagers they're going through a lot. We go through a lot, not just good old fashioned puberty, but also constantly transitioning from one phase in our life to another, going from junior high to high school to friend group, even from classroom to classroom. We're constantly on the move. And what we really need is a place we can come back to that is safe. It's home. And more often than not, we want our parents to be that home. So the biggest thing you can do is, in such a time of instability, is provide the stability your child needs. And the easiest way to do that is to just stop and listen to them. If your kid comes to you with something that's troubling them or that they want to confide in you with, it's taking the time to listen to them, putting your feelings to the side, because you can deal with that on your own later. You're the parent. That's your responsibility, not theirs. Mm-hmm. And really keeping an open mind and taking everything that your child is going through into consideration, whether it be new to you or not, and building that trust. Because while the formative years for a kid's personality may be prior to being 10 years old, mm-hmm. your teenage years are where your relationship with your parents and other loved ones is cemented. And if you instead choose to build walls or other negative connotations to a trusting relationship with your kid, it's going to build a permanent distance between the two of you. And the more honest and trusting and compassionate that you can be with your teenager, the more that they will want to rely on you as a safe place to come back to, even when they're in their 30s or 40s. It's all about treating them like the young adults that they're going into and listening to them like people, because they may be smaller, but they are people.
Such wise advice. Wise advice. And it's advice that I've heard before exactly the same way from a very experienced psychologist. I've got these notes, listen. And it's really hard sometimes, because, you know, they come in and at the second that you're really busy doing something and like, I gotta finish this, but that's not what I'm supposed to be doing. It's hard, but you're absolutely right. To have that mutual trust, you have to stop and listen.
Yeah. And even if it's something you don't understand, we live in an era where there are so many differences and individualities across the board that, you know, parents are having to come into contact with, usually for the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, regardless of whether you agree with that or not, or believe in it or not, setting your feelings aside to listen to and understand your child's is crucial to their belief, not just in you, but their belief in people. You are the root of their belief in the outside world. And every parent's going to make mistakes. Yes, that's just a matter of being human. Mm-hmm. But taking the extra measures to prevent or lessen those mistakes is all the more important with a growing young youth.
All right, and keeping that relationship strong, because mm-hmm. I remember with my parents, it was really rough in the teenage years, young adult, beginning university, and then it started getting better as probably I grew up a little bit, and then they started trusting more. So it's wise advice for parents. Thank you for that. So what about, what has winning this scholarship been like for you? How did it feel when you first got the news? Like, perhaps walk us through, you applied, did you think you were going to get it? What was it like?
I applied, and getting the interview was exciting. I had one of my very good friends visiting at the time, and I almost like lost my marbles, my metaphorical marbles. And that was, you know, that was exciting. But it wasn't quite as exciting as the interview itself, which I had never done before. I'd never been in a room with like a panel of 7-8 people all asking me very, very long questions. And that was nerve-wracking. It was nerve-wracking, but it was fun. The whole experience has been nerve-wracking, but fun. But the best part was getting the phone call. And I was sitting on the stairs with my dog. You know, I had missed the initial call, so I called the office back at the school. And my mom was sitting there, and I put the phone on speaker. And it was a desperate attempt not to scream. And then we ended the phone call, and we screamed. And my brother was asleep. So, oops. But it was definitely a victory. It's hard. This scholarship, they get hundreds of applicants and they pick maybe 12 to 15 kids a year. It was hard, but well earned, I think. And even if I didn't know it, my mom certainly knew that I had been preparing for something like this my whole life, mm-hmm. just by being, as aforementioned, very active in my respective communities. You never know. Sometimes you just have to really go for it and hope for the best. And I mean, it still feels like a fever dream.
Yeah. Yeah. But you prepared. I watched you with the interview questions, and you actually did some mock interview.
Yeah, we did a mock interview. That was fun. I was more nervous for the mock interview than I was the real interview.
Wow.
Which is strange. But true.
Well, because it was your first shot, right? You know, every time you do something for the first time, then it's not so difficult once you've done it. But I loved watching you prepare. And all along, I knew you were getting it, because I thought, this girl's putting her heart and soul into this. So it was exciting on my end, too. Can you give us some examples of things that you're learning there? What's it going to look like for you, and how is it different than like someone just going to the 4-year regular program? Are you doing anything different?
Well, there is a lot of new stuff, but I think the most interesting part is the CLC is based mostly in business and leadership, and they decided a studio art major would be perfect for that. Don't know why, but alas, so in combination with all of my learning in the field of art, it's also teaching myself how to market that my art and my work. The biggest difference is in the first semester, For this semester only, there is a special class that the CLC attends to learn more about leadership and business, and we have special guest speakers. I've heard in the past that sometimes it's politicians, sometimes it's like professional business leaders, so forth and so on. So that'll be exciting. There'll also be opportunities to attend benefits and dinners and different events that'll let me communicate with people far outside my realm, which I'm excited for. It's an opportunity to make a connection that otherwise I wouldn't normally have. It's definitely a blessing.
Well, that's a great opportunity for you, because that's really where you meet key people that are going to take you to where you're going next. So that's a good opportunity. And where do you see yourself after this scholarship? Do you have any vision yet? I know you've got your artwork, but is there a vision at all yet, or you're just going to keep kind of figuring it out?
The goal is to attend a formal art school to get a master's in illustrated narrative. So things like comics, cartoons, so forth and so on. And then the big goal is to be a showrunner. If you look at all of the animated shows on Netflix right now, all of those shows have people who head them and run them. And getting to run my own show and provide the level of not just entertainment, but also good messages and hope and love and compassion to kids, like the cartoons of my day taught me, would be the absolute dream. A dream that I plan to make into a reality at some point.
Love it. Love your goals. And what are you most excited about this whole process? Is it just watching your vision come into form?
I'm excited for everything. Good. I'm excited to learn. I'm excited to perform. I'm excited to meet new people. I want to know and do as much as I feasibly can in the next 4 years, whether it be in my comfort zone or drastically outside of it. Because this is an opportunity like nothing else. Mm-hmm. This is a chance to really spread my wings and see a world that I haven't gotten to see yet. Mm-hmm. And not just learning about art or leadership or business, but fields that may even have nothing to do with me. You never know when that information may come in handy. So learning from my fellow students, faculty that I may not have otherwise a chance to interact with, so forth and so on. It's an excitement to learn everything. I want to learn everything.
Good for you. Well, I just want to thank you. You're wise, so wise with all of this experience you're getting. And I'm thrilled to see the results that you've created watching you along the years from the beginning. You're destined for a bright future. I know you're going to get wherever it may be. I'll watch for you on Netflix, but I'm sure we'll stay in touch along the way. Just want to thank you so much for sharing your story with us. It will help other people that might be out there and thinking, well, could I apply for a scholarship? What can I do? What steps should I take? And so thank you so much for your time today, Sam.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
Have a wonderful day and enjoy your first day tomorrow, is it?
Classes start on the 19th, but I move in tomorrow.
Enjoy.
So,
best of luck.
Thank you.
If you're enjoying the Neuroscience Meets Social and Emotional Learning podcast, please don't forget to subscribe so you'll stay up to date with our new episodes. While you're there, please feel free to give us a review or a 5-star rating, as it helps others find us. For more information on our programs, books and tools for schools and the workplace, visit us at www.achieveit360.com.